On this episode, we're talking about our favorite Disney things that happened in 2019. This is episode 254 of the Capture the Magic podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Expedition Roasters, which are, I guess I would call them, I had another word for it, but they make great coffee. Crafters of great coffee, maybe that's what I'm going for. And if you go to expeditionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15, you can save 15% off of every single order you place. Plus, you get free shipping if you order over $49 worth of product. And they've got some awesome coffee blends. So if you love Disney and you love coffee, it's a pretty much a match made in heaven. So get the Prospector's Roast, which is my favorite. They even have the peppermint mocha, cinnamon bun, whatever. They've got tons. They've even got some Harry Potter flavored things for you Potter fans out there. So again, go to expeditionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15. Well, hello everybody and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee and I am joined as usual by my lovely, lovely wife. This is Jamie Lee. So Jamie, how are you doing?
I am good, Jared. How are you?
Why are you talking like that?
Because you had a radio voice just then.
Am I talking different than normal?
You're like, how are you? That's what you said.
I didn't. Okay.
So I was just repeating you.
Just talking. I don't know what to tell you.
This is delicious dish.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We're losing listeners by the minute here with your... Sorry. NPR impersonation. You never answered your question. Are you good?
Yes, I'm great. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. It is almost Christmas.
This is factually accurate.
Yes. Yeah. We are excited for Christmas for many reasons, but you know, I don't know. Every year Christmas gets a little bit more special, I guess, at least for me, just because of our kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun aspect of it to see them. Like, especially our daughter this year is, like, insanely excited about Christmas.
Christmas trees, to be specific.
I mean, you know, baby Thor is, he's excited, but, he's not really expressing it much.
Right. We have this Advent calendar that's hung on the wall, and she's obsessed with changing the numbers. I'm like, Mommy, change the numbers? I'm like, we already did that. And she asked me, like, 10 times a day. I'm like, okay, we don't understand why we're changing the numbers, but yeah. She likes to
Plus
do
Plus the
it.
Presents under the tree. She's mm-hmm. all into those.
But that's, we're teaching patience there. We're learning how to be patient. And
that's a lesson that I never learned.
But she's doing very well. I'm very proud of her, so.
She actually is surprisingly doing well with that. When you first did it, I was like, why would you put this headache into our life? Because this is going to, but she's
what she realizes better. That she will eventually get to open them. She's okay. But if I tell her no, she can't ever, then that's a problem. Anyway, so that's our day-to-day.
Yeah, basically.
Christmas stuff.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's like going to Disney with kids. It's more fun and you get to see stuff, especially with our daughter. I'm really excited when we can go back because she's like, she asked to go to Disney all the time too. So mm-hmm. she's at that fun age, I think. So it's definitely a lot of fun. But speaking of Christmas, I lost an AirBud yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
From my AirPods.
Yep.
That was a whole thing. And here's the thing about it. How long have I had those? Since like the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Never lost them. I have zero clue where the thing went. So I had to buy another pair. It's really annoying.
And it's not, and with those, it's like if you lose like a basic pair of headphones, if you lose all, like one, you're going to lose all of it because it's connected. With AirPods, it's like, oh, I just have half of
one. Yeah, I still have the one. Well, so. I went to like, I usually wear one when I'm going to bed just to listen to something. And I opened the case and there was only one. And I was like, where did it go? And I couldn't find it. And yeah.
Well, what do you do? What do you have a habit of doing whenever you are done with your AirPod? You put it in your pocket.
No, I put it in the case and put it in my pocket.
Okay.
I told you.
Okay.
This.
Well, I'm just saying that's I don't know how where, usually it gets
my,
lost.
I don't know. Anyways, I don't know where it went. I'm sure I'll find it now that I'd buy another pair. But I wouldn't have done it. They're obviously, they're not a sponsor. I've looked for Bluetooth headphones for years, and the AirPods are the first ones I've ever had that I legitimately just enjoy. So yeah. I normally like wouldn't have spent that much money ever on them, but the fact that I bought them again is because they're legit good. So
they're legit, yeah, for sure.
But we're not going to talk about AirPods today and losing them, although that is on my I Lost My AirPod podcast coming up. But we're going to talk about, we're going to do a year in review, talk about our favorite things that happened in the Disney sphere and maybe on the network as well. But before we do that, we have some other shows on the Capture Magic Network we'd like you guys to check out. We have Diz Dudes, which is every Wednesday, but we do a live stream of that episode every Tuesday with Jeremy and myself. We do that in Club 32. So if you want to be a part of that, go to ctmvip.com. Plus the other awesome perks you get there, you get to join in on the live stream. And like Jeremy and Rhonda did a random live stream yesterday. So we're going to be in a lot more live streams in 2020. So, you know, toward the end of the year, people are busy with Christmas and stuff like that. So but we're ramping that thing up. So again, ctmvip.com if you want to do that. We also have Main Street Magic Podcast with Jeremy and Rhonda every Tuesday and Thursday. And Jamie has Trip Tales twice a month. And we have, when's the next one going to come out?
Monday the 23rd. The 23rd.
Okay.
I can't remember what day.
That is when that one is coming
Monday
out.
Monday the 23rd will be another one. And then we'll have the bonus one will come out on the 30th of December.
There you go.
Yes.
Because we're going to be taking a little bit of a break for a week.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Because we deserve it, dang it.
We do deserve
it. But you'll still have content, so there you guys go. Yeah. And if you're a member of Club 32, by the way, you can listen to those Trip Tales episodes right now because they get early access. So there's a private podcast feed there, so as if you didn't need any more reasons. But there you go. So, and if you haven't subscribed to the podcast or left us a review, we'd please ask you to do so. So, all right. Well, we got 10 things, at least
it's
to start.
Ish. 10-ish things, yeah.
This is rare for you.
Yeah, I know.
You're usually miss, got to have... the exact number.
I know. I'm already started my
before we went before we started recording. She goes, well, it's kind of a loose list. I don't have a script, and I just looked at her and I was like, you do realize that I do Diz Dudes? Then, oh yeah, because we don't have a script on Diz Dudes.
I don't tend to function without a script in front of me, but
that's what
you know.
Makes us a good pair.
Okay, sure.
I want to go off the road, and you're like, let's stay on the road. I'm like, fine. But I'm going to the way on the one side of the road. But okay, well, do you want to do? Are we counting down? Are we ranking these? Are we just going to talk about them? Are we going chronologically?
I kind of ranked them. Actually, the way I wrote it is kind of the way I feel about them. So like,
as well,
far
this
as,
is a combined
good
list.
To bad. Sure.
So you just took ownership of it though.
Yeah,
ranked
it's mine.
It yourself.
It's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, as is marriage, I suppose. All right. Well. I'll just sit here and let me know when you need me.
Oh,
all right. So I guess we'll just start start at number 10 and do a countdown.
Okay.
So what's number 10?
Well, this one is a assumption. Talking about Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Skywalker.
Skywalker. We haven't seen it yet. We're seeing it on Sunday. But we're assuming that it's going to be a pretty big hit. Now.
Oh, it'll make money.
Yes, it'll make money.
But there's a difference between making money and being a good movie.
Yes. At this time, we have not heard like rave reviews about it. It's like 50-50 over whether people like it or not. And that's from critics, though. That's not from the fans, and there's different things.
Well, and I don't really put much stock into critics, but a lot of the same critics that loved Last Jedi are not liking this. So it's one of those things where either that's good... because I didn't like Last Jedi, or that it's not, I mean, it's even worse and they don't like it, so I don't know. So I'm not, honestly, I'm probably going to a good space with this movie in that I'm not expecting a lot out of it.
Yeah.
So I can be happily surprised and come away liking it. So I guess that may be a good way to go into it. Like, I went into Endgame with very high expectations, and it beat those expectations. But with Star Wars, I'm just kind of like, I hope it's fun. Like, I don't know. But we'll see. Obviously, we haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to make any... presumptions, but
yeah,
that's kind of I have no doubt it will make money. It will make a lot of money. It'll just be interesting to see how it gets wrapped up and plays out and all that stuff. But
yeah,
and we might do a review like in Club 32. We didn't, so we kind of quit doing reviews on the show because I don't know, it didn't seem like that was something like you can find those in a lot of places.
Sure.
So but I think Club 32 would be a good spot. Sometimes Jeremy and I will go live in there, like we did that for Endgame, so we might have a discussion in there about it. That way, if you haven't seen it, we would just tell you, like, don't listen because we're going to spoil it for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. All right. Well, what's number nine?
This is more like number 10. That was like number 11, but whatever.
Oh, you're all over the place today.
I am. Festival of the Arts, it saw a full, like basically a full lineup this year. Like it expanded to every day of the week. When before it was not, correct?
I believe before it was weekends.
Was that what it started? How it started the weekends?
It was something like that. I can't remember the top of my head.
I put it as a favorite of ours because that's my favorite festival right now. And as the first time I got to experience it in January of this year, and I really liked it. So I'm marking it as one of my favorite things of 2019.
The fact that it expanded?
The fact that there's more opportunities to see it. Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely... It has grown. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's grown to be one of my favorite festivals. Like, given the art aspect to it, it's kind of unique. So, you know, I've always been... growing up, I very much was a kid that drew and painted and stuff like that a lot. So I'm still... I like seeing people do that stuff. Like, I watched that guy do the Star Wars painting in front of me. Because it's always the same thing. It's always like, I don't even know what this is. And like, oh. Yeah. And as soon as it hits you, you're like, that guy's a magician. But
yeah.
It's always fun to... Now, if I did it, you would just be confused the entire time. And then I'm done. Like, what is that? I'd be like, I don't know.
I think part of why I like it, too, more than the other ones, is that it's during the time of year that's not hot. So it's
typically
like
not
it's,
as busy too.
Right. And it's not as miserable walking around. Whereas Food and Wine, it's hot. It is really hot.
It very much can be. Yeah.
So yeah, I can enjoy that cheddar cheese soup from Canada at Festival of the Arts more than I can.
Yeah. When it's like August, that cheddar cheese soup's a bit, it's not really hit the spot like you want. All right, guys, I just got to go get some hot soup.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know there's a guy that loves doing that when it's hot.
Oh, like, sure.
Give me some warm soup.
You see him walking around the park and he's just like sweating bullets. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, well.
Oh, he knows. Buddy. He knows what's wrong. Buddy. But he doesn't care because he likes the hot, hot soup in the sun.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, all right. What's the next? I guess this one's number 9, technically.
I think so. Yeah. I was going to say some new restaurants. And then we were talking about this last night. And I was like, yeah, like Sebastian's Bistro. But that opened in 2018. And then Artist Point, Storybook Dining, also opened at the end of December last year.
Yes.
Technically. But it's still like, I don't know. Like, I was going to say those two restaurants were like my favorite of 2019. Because that's, you know, I got to experience Sebastian's this year.
Right.
So I put that on my list.
Well, it did open the tail end of 2018. So,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes you could kind of, it didn't get a full year in.
Yeah.
So... But I mean, there's ones we haven't tried though. I mean, Top Leaders Terrace now, over the Riviera, then the Three Bridges at Coronado. So there are some. I mean, there's definitely new restaurants. Tapas, yeah, the new,
or whatever.
Over there in Grand Floridian, the bar that they redid.
It used to be Misner's Lot. Oh, yeah. Chan and Rose.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of new stuff to check. You know, in that aspect, which is exciting because food. Yeah. You know, part of a Disney vacation and going to Disney is the food and the atmosphere. And so that's definitely a cool thing to continue to build up.
I love that you can base your whole vacation around food, too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
if you wanted to.
Yeah, sure. Like, just a different vacation than...
I mean, you could... there's people that will go to Disney and it's like a food, you know, vacation. Like, you can do that. I mean, it's, you know, depending on where you go. I mean, you could go to... what's the one that's in... the one that's super expensive.
Victoria
and
Albert's. Albert's.
Yeah, you can go that into things and go really high end. So there's, yeah. And then you got snacks you can just grab in the park. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right, what's next on the list?
Well, I put the end of Illuminations.
As your favorite thing?
Well, in the start of Epcot Forever. Just like, I basically was saying something new at Epcot.
Right.
Like new fireworks show because... I know there are a lot of people out there that love Illuminations, and that's fine. It is not my favorite fireworks show. Never has been. And it was long overdue to get an update.
Well, did you know originally it was a temporary show?
I didn't know that until you told me.
Yeah, originally. And they kept it for 20 years.
But yeah, it debuted. It debuted in 1999. So yeah. It literally went 20 years.
Maybe they thought Y2K is going to happen and no more Illuminations. And when it didn't, they're like, well... We don't want to mess with that. That made no sense. I just threw that out there. but no, I'm very excited because I got to see the tail end of Illuminations in August. So I'm excited to check out Epcot Forever, which now will not last forever. So that's an interesting. I do like that, by the way. Like, what do you name the show? What about We're Never Going Away? Okay, how long is it going to last? 3 months. Like, isn't that confusing? How so? Like, never mind.
And there's also, you know, they updated some shows at Hollywood Studios, the World of Animation show. At Lion King, they updated the Rivers of Light.
Yeah.
Show. So, I mean, like.
They updated the fireworks shows for the parties, too.
Yeah, and I put that actually in our list up there, but we can talk about it right now if you want.
Yeah, I was saying that's another thing. If you're talking about fireworks, that's a cool aspect of the parties.
Yes.
And, I went to the Halloween party, and we...
Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party.
Correct. Obviously, we didn't get to go to the Christmas parties this year. But heard from many people that they don't seem to be overselling them as much. At least that's how it seems. That's what I've heard from probably 6 or 7, 8 people. So in terms of that is... A plus the fact that there's new stuff, at the parties, but the fact that if they're not overselling them, that's a good thing. So that'd be one of my favorite things.
Both Holiday Wishes and Hollow Wishes, both of each of those parties, were kind of taken as almost like a branch off of Wishes, just regular Wishes.
I think it was a direct branch off of those.
Okay, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Sorry.
And now, you don't have to correct me. I'm
sorry. I'm sorry.
And so Happily Ever After debuted a couple of years ago. And so it seemed, at least to us when we went last year for both, that the fireworks shows were just like underwhelming because there's hardly any projections whatsoever. And the fireworks are just kind of, they're just kind of there, you know?
Well,
they just needed an update.
Yeah, I mean, Happily Ever After is the best fireworks show I've seen. So when you upgrade to that, you know, and then the shows you have at the parties are a big step down from that. Plus, it's an extra thing you're paying for. Mm-hmm. It just kind of becomes sort of a like, oh, that's, yeah, okay. Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So it makes sense for them to do these now. And
sure.
And the Halloween one was awesome. I loved it. And Jeremy said he didn't care for the Christmas one as much. Obviously, I haven't seen it in person. But yeah, no, it's exciting that they keep adding things to the parties. I think that's a big thing. So, I mean, that's something that hopefully they continue going forward as well.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What is, I don't know where we're at, 7, 6?
I don't know.
What's the next big thing that happened to Disney in 2019?
Well, when the official buyout of 20th Century Fox.
That was rather big.
That was very big. That was a huge transaction. Well, it was $70 billion.
Yeah, I was being a little sarcastic, but okay, right. No, yeah, it was kind of a big thing, you know, purchase.
Yeah, I mean, how the library of, you know, Fox movies and TV shows and everything is huge. And, you know, now Disney owns Deadpool. That's kind of fun.
Well, Disney owns X-Men. And X-Men. That's something I was going to put separately, but I'll just talk about it here. One of the favorite things was something that hasn't even come to fruition yet, which is Disney basically or Marvel getting almost all the characters back.
Yeah.
In terms of the movie side, which means X-Men, when you got Wolverine, like all this stuff, they got 20th Century Fox. The only character they don't own out right now,
Spider-Man
and...
Is it Hulk?
Hulk is... I mean, they can use. He's not probably going to have any standalone movies because of the distribution deal with Universal, but they can use him in like the Avengers and stuff, which is why they kind of do that now.
Oh, okay.
I think there's one other character, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyways, they basically have all their characters back underneath... you know, their umbrella, if you will. So I'm excited to see what they'll do with X-Men and stuff like that. Because X-Men was always my favorite comic. Always was. Like, I loved Captain America later on. And I love Cap a ton. But growing up as a kid, I always read X-Men. Like Wolverine and all that stuff.
So you're excited to see what Disney does with it?
No, not really. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm very sorry. Okay, I'll say number 6. What's the next big thing?
The opening of the Grand Destino Tower at Coronado Springs.
Yeah, it's pretty. I would say
still have not seen it.
Well, you've seen it unfinished.
Yes, I've seen it unfinished. Like it was still under construction when I went last time in April.
Yeah.
So tell me. So it's beautiful. Yes,
it really is pretty. I've been in there. I only got to spend 30 to 45 minutes in there, but it is a. It's very, very pretty. It has a very, I'm trying to think the vibe. It's not a Vegas vibe, per se, but it's that high end. If you've ever been to a Vegas hotel, it's a kind of a high end hotel, how it feels in there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like that. The club level up there is amazing.
The only moderate resort with a club level.
Yeah. And it's probably on, I mean, I've heard from many people, it's a better club level than even most of the deluxe resorts. So
a lot of people say it's better than Polynesian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's it's really cool up there. So
yeah. And they have the Toledo's steak tapas and more, or whatever that is.
Bob's Burgers and Fries and more. Yeah. It's very cool. And I do want to stay in, you know, we plan on in 2020 staying in the tower because we stayed at Coronado. We haven't stayed in the tower part.
Right.
But yeah, it's a big thing. It's a very unique thing in that, you know, given it's a convention hotel, it gives it another whole, you know, look and feel to it. So, I mean, there's a lot of expansion. We'll talk about some more stuff, but, you know, going on to Disney, obviously. So it's all big things.
Yep. So,
all right. Let's say next one's number 5.
Okay.
I don't know where we're at.
Riviera opening. That just happened.
Yeah.
This beginning of this week.
Obviously, we haven't got to see it yet. See, we've got to go back soon anyways because we haven't seen a lot of this stuff, and then now we feel like we're out of the loop. And it's,
we're so out of the loop.
Well, we're in the loop, but it's sort of like we just haven't seen it in person yet.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
It'll be okay.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Riviera is... So I will say going into it, I was unsure about Riviera.
Me too.
And not because it's French.
My gosh.
I said not because. I said not because. I'm being honest here. I'm being open-minded. No, it was one of those where the concept art seemed not Disney or what we're used to of thinking of Disney.
Yeah.
But after, you know, my dad sent me a ton of pictures. He got to do they gave like a private tour to employees. He said they couldn't even take anybody. You couldn't even bring a guest. It was just you went through. And I mean, the detail and how pretty it is. And it has all that. I like what they've done with it in that they do those Disney homages, but it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like cool little things like the lanterns and that one thing and like Peter Pan stuff in some of the rooms. So I hope this is how they do hotels going forward because I'm cool with that design.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited. Jimmy and I might have a chance to stay here in February. We talked
That would be great if we could. Yeah.
So we might. Which I'm very excited to try because I think it's and we had a bunch of members from the C-Team community. Brian and Fabio went there.
Mm-hmm. My first trip.
Well, I was going to say they went there and they said they really liked it.
Oh, but, sorry.
Yeah. No, you can go ahead.
You do it all the time to me.
What are you talking about?
My first trip to Tales guest for January, she actually is staying at Riviera. Well, I think she's there right now. I will have more information from her about her stay.
So what you're saying is... You don't care about what Brian and Fabio said.
My point was tune into Trip Tales. You can hear about it.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe.
Anyway,
you're like, listen here, Fabio.
Yeah.
I just want to use that name,
Fabio.
Sorry, Fabio. Okay. So let's go to number.
This is number 5.
This is number 5.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Skyliner.
The list was not numbered.
Sorry.
Math would not be part of the equation.
This is the Skyliner one. I know Jared doesn't like it, but I'm going to put it as a favorite.
Again, to be open-minded, I haven't ridden them yet. I don't know if I'm going to, but it's a big thing. It's a very big deal. A new mode of transportation is open at Disney. Now, whether or not how we feel about it is completely different, but it's a very big deal.
And there's even a station individually for Riviera, which we just talked about. So that's a nice perk there.
Are there French people waiting for you when you get off there?
Oh, gosh.
I'm just asking if they do it very authentically.
I don't know.
No. Like, here's your crepe.
Oh my gosh. You are awful.
What is wrong with crepes?
They're delicious.
I didn't say they weren't. I would very much enjoy it if I got off the Skyliner and they're like, here's your crepe. I'd be thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
French man or woman, whoever you are.
Okay.
No, like the Skyliner, ever since the monorail, there hasn't been anything like this. So it's, you know, and so far, I mean, the first week had some kinks. They got stranded a little bit. But since then, I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Things are being run pretty quick.
Unless they just haven't told us about anything. But it seems like things have been running pretty smooth since then. So,
yep. Can't wait to ride it.
Yeah. You and I'm fine with riding it together.
Yeah.
I just don't want to take the kids when they're young.
Oh, I'm not taking a 5 or 6 month old in that thing. Not yet. No. Not yet.
His cry is very loud. If he got angry, I would be afraid of... Yeah, it would just be very loud.
Listen, baby Thor can just punch his way out of it. Ah!
He is a big kid.
Yes, he is. Guys, he's almost 21 pounds.
He's a huge kid.
He's 5 months old. Just turned 5 months old. And he's 21 pounds. He's a hoss.
Well, and I would say non-Disney related, that obviously is a very awesome thing of 2019, is the birth of our son, yes, known as Baby Thor.
Yes.
And I will say a very cool aspect of all of that was, you know, for those that don't know, maybe you just start listening. When he was born, he had to spend some time in the NICU. He had some pneumonia. And a lot of listeners, you know, sent us some gifts and outreach. That was, it was great. It meant a lot to us. And that was honestly like a very...
I cried. When you I opened did. The box,
I would have.
Yeah,
I didn't. I felt, it's weird. I feel the emotion sometimes to do that, but I didn't with that one.
Like, he was still in the hospital, in the NICU. I came home to like shower and grab some stuff, and I opened the box. I was like, "Oh my god, this is so sweet."
Yeah, but no, that was very cool. That was very great. And that's one of the reasons why we love the CTM community. It's really, yes, it's awesome. And that's something that, you know, for the last couple of years has been, you know, when we started the show, it was like that aspect of it was something that,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think we would have ever thought that would have been something that would have grown like that. And especially not even that, how it's grown, but just the quality in which it is. Like, it's a very like positive place. There's many people that have said it's the best place in the internet. I'm just saying what they've told us.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. And it's totally correct.
Well, right? I think it's because I have the ban sword ready. Like, if need be.
Oh, okay.
I'll just, you know, just handle things, I guess. I don't know.
Number four?
So, well, yeah, let's go to number four. Because that was just like ancillary or personal podcast related. So, yeah, number four. What's the next big Disney thing that happened in 2019?
Well, Avengers Endgame came out and blew away every single movie that's ever been made.
What's this movie you speak of?
Avengers Endgame.
I had
Number one highest grossing movie ever. At this point.
Finally beat Avatar.
Finally.
That movie makes no sense how it was ever. It makes no sense. It was so weird that movie was always like, well, didn't beat Avatar.
Listen,
like,
Avatar's fine, but when I go back and look at it, I'm like, I don't, why?
But you know the thing that was so interesting about that movie is, and I've heard, this is an original thought by me, but it's true. I've heard people bring it up. That movie made all that money and it literally had like no cultural impact. It wasn't like people continue to talk about it. There hasn't been any sequels.
Well, the sequels are coming.
They came way too late. Like, it's James Cameron.
It came out, what, 2009? Yeah. 2009? We still haven't had the sequel.
Like, it's probably closer to the time period it was after Return of the Jedi to the prequels that Lucas did before these are going to come out.
He's meticulous, all right?
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, it's just very interesting that movie for the longest time was there. So like, you know, Endgame beating it. I'm like, thank finally something beat it. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so.
But yeah, it was exciting. Highest grossing, very popular movie. It kind of ended this phase of the Avengers and we'll see what happens in the future.
That we will. That's very true.
Yes.
And a good segue to that would be because now you can watch that movie on our next one, which is the big thing, which was Disney Plus.
Yeah. And we have a subcategory for that one too. But Disney Plus debuted November 12th of this year. And it is basically it's Disney Netflix.
Disney Flix.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Ooh, that should have been CTM of the movies, Disflix.
Yeah, came through my head, but I didn't like the
I get you.
You know what I mean? Branding and such.
But yeah, this is basically the place where you can get, I don't even know how many they have in the library, but it's a ton.
Oh, you could get groceries there?
Groceries on Disney Plus. No. I think like almost all the animated movies are on there. National Treasure Book of Secrets is on there. Soon to be followed by the first one whenever the contract runs out with Netflix.
It taunts me when I sit there and I see the first one. I'm like, is it there? Oh,
no,
it's not ready yet.
It's not there.
I mean, the second one's fine. It's good. It's just, it's not the first one. I mean,
you can find like nostalgia, like shows from the 90s, like Disney Channel shows. You can find like,
I mean, how you ran through Boy Meets World for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I can do it. I have Disney Plus.
I mean, I enjoyed it too. I like it when they're a little older, though.
Sure. Holiday movies. And then they also have some original programming, which we'll talk about as our number two. I want to bring up The Imagineering Story. Very well done, like 6-part documentary featuring basically the Imagineers and like how it went through the years from 1955 to now.
That was very interesting. Yeah. And they actually were pretty, I mean, you think on some stuff like that where it's going, well, Disney's producing this, it's on Disney's platform, it's going to kind of, make things sound better than they were. And there was some of that. I will say some of it they kind of skimped over. Because what Eisner did before he came along, some of the stuff they kind of, I don't think they wanted to make certain people look really bad. I'm trying to think of what's his name. Miller.
Is it Ron Miller?
Yeah, Ron Miller. Is that his name? Some of the stuff he did that led to the bad spot they were in. They were kind of like, it didn't go so well, but there was a lot of stuff there. But it was really well done, and it's really interesting to see from that perspective of just how unique, you know, when you look at the first part of it, it's just Walt Disney just had a crew of guys. It was like, hey, you guys just make cool stuff up.
It was cool because the creator is the granddaughter of Ub Iwerks, who was one of the Imagineers back in the day. Like worked with Walt and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very well done. I liked it. But more importantly, The Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars-based series, Baby Yoda. That's my number two.
He's made a cultural impact. He sure has. That is for sure.
It has literally spread like everywhere. He's like a cross between Big Yoda and a gremlin.
Well, I think. Well, I guess.
Or, it's like a baby. Not the scary gremlin. Sorry, the cute one. I can't remember his name now.
I have no idea.
It's been a long time.
I have no idea.
Anyway. So, Baby Yoda, he made his way into our hearts, and he's never leaving.
Made his way. I will say, and it's interesting about this, like, I don't have a lot of high hopes, or I'm not expecting a lot from the next Star Wars movie. I think the best thing that happened to Star Wars in the past, well, ever since Disney bought him, is The Mandalorian. I actually think it's unique, and what's interesting about that is it's the same thing with, like, Rogue One. And here's what's interesting about both those. I think Rogue One, out of all the Disney movies or Disney Star Wars movies, has been the best one. And I think Mandalorian is really, really good. But what's interesting is those things don't focus on the Jedi. There are other aspects of the Star Wars universe, which is interesting because it kind of tells you too, you know, whenever when Star Wars kind of started emulating the Marvel model, and I said from the beginning, that's a troublesome thing because in the Marvel world, there's so many diverse different characters. I mean, you got Iron Man and Captain America and Hulk, and different backgrounds, different abilities. In the Star Wars universe, you know, it's like a Jedi or Sith, and there's not much variance off of what they can do, and so it just doesn't lend itself to having like a movie every single year because there's just not enough different ways to tell a story. But stuff like this, like Rogue One, involved kind of Jedi-ish, but it's mostly the people that starred in it were not, you know, Jedi.
Right.
But same thing with Mandalorian. Now, obviously, Baby Yoda has some force, you know, powers, as it would seem, as he can hold up a giant animal. But it's just interesting that's not the main focus. And those are, in my opinion, those are the two best things that have come in the Star Wars franchise since Disney has bought it. I don't know. I really hope the next phase of movies for Disney will be the Knights of the Old Republic. It'd be a nice change. I think one of the things that's hurt this iteration trilogy of Star Wars is it just seems like a copy of the original trilogy and implementing some of those and Knights of the Old Republic takes place far before the Skywalker timeline, so it could be a good change of pace of like, here's completely new stuff, and get them out of that hole of maybe thinking they have to do everything revolving like the Skywalkers.
And I was thinking,
not to go on a tangent, but
that's okay. I was thinking of Gizmo from Gremlins. Gizmo and Yoda is Baby Yoda. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay.
All right, let's move to the next one. Is this number one?
This is number one.
I don't think we're in order, by the way.
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever.
The number one, I would say, biggest thing happened in the Disney realm would be the opening of Galaxy's Edge.
Yep, and we're including it when it opened in August and Rise of the Resistance when it just opened.
I think, you look at opening, it's like you have the opening kind of the one and opening 2.0.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, or 1.2, however, like Apple does their updates, something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a brand new, very grand land that is open in both parks.
Exactly. You know, Disney tried a new thing where, you know, you had to have a reservation at Disneyland to be able to go. And that worked well. And it kept the crowds away. And they stayed away for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they panicked. No. Disney World didn't function like that. You know, I would say it's been successful, but I'm not sure it's been the level that they thought or anticipated.
Well, I think they were anticipating, you know, tons of crowds, which honestly could lead people to staying away a little bit because of the crowds. You know, there are people that do that. And they talked about that in the Imagineering story when Disney World opened. The first week, the attendance was not that good.
Right.
And then what they found out was, oh, people just thought it was going to be too crowded, so they waited. So I think it'll be very successful long term, but it's just one of those things where it's an interesting thing that we've never had Disney open the same land essentially in two parks around the same time.
Yeah.
So that's something as well. But
that is,
you know,
something. Yeah.
But I, you know, personally, I kind of wish they would have waited to open the entire land until both rides were ready, because you know, I was there in August to check out the opening, and while it was really cool and it was awesome, but it did seem sort of weird that there was this aspect and you could see it that just wasn't, you know, wasn't open. So it just seemed like an incomplete land, which is not something you want to feel on the opening day of something, ideally.
I'm wondering how that would have worked out if both had opened on the same day, both attractions, if it would have just been mass chaos.
Well, it was mass chaos anyways.
More mass chaos.
You know, I don't know
because
how
there's so many people or what, let me stay in the land longer.
Yeah,
it'd be harder to get people in and out.
It was one of those things, you know, Rise of the Resistance is obviously the, you know, the Flight of Passage of Galaxy's Edge,
which I hear people are saying they like it more than Flight of
I've
Passage.
Heard from many people they've said that. And I'm, again, as it goes with the movies, I'm trying to just not have any expectations and I'll experience it on my own. But
right.
And Smuggler's Run is sort of the Navi River of Star Wars or Galaxy's Edge, but it's a better ride than Navi River. So it's got two really good rides.
Right.
I don't know how much it would have impacted people coming, because I know Rise of the Resistance was more anticipated. So I don't know if it would have been busier if they both opened at the same time. I don't, you know, it was still busy that day. So, but yeah, how people interact with the land would have been interesting that first day. But yeah, either way, I liked it. I can't wait to go back to experience it some more, and Jamie to experience it, because I know she is looking forward to it.
I am very much so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our number one.
You got anything else you want to, big things in 2019 you want to say that were your favorite?
I don't think so. I mean, there's little things here and there, but these are the main ones I wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
So,
well, I do want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. We keep growing and everything keeps, you know, download numbers, all that stuff. So, you know, it's awesome. I don't know what else to say. Sounds like a broken record, but it is really great. And we very much appreciate you
guys. Very thankful. Yes. It's been amazing. We've met so many nice people and, you know, I love doing the shows. I love doing Trip Tales and getting to talk one-on-one with people. It's really kind of cool to kind of follow their vacations. And I really love that. And I love doing the show with Jared. And I can't wait to do more.
Oh, thanks. Mm. I mean, yeah. You know, and I mean, there's Jeremy. He's okay.
Jeremy and Rhonda, of He's nice. Course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you said we met some really nice people. And I was like, hey, well, you know, yeah. Than Jeremy.
Stop.
No, that has been the fun aspect of getting to know many listeners and you know, even some listeners, because I, you know, I don't just do at least at this point, not strictly just podcasting. So there's some listeners that I've become, you know, I do business stuff with. So in that part is just getting to know people is really cool. So, I mean, 5 years ago, if you'd have told me this is what I'd be doing, I'd have been like, that's funny. And then life's funny that way because you're like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing now. So.
Yeah.
But absolutely love it. It's cool. So looking forward to very, like you said, very many more and awesome stuff coming in 2020. So
lots of changes in 2020.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As people yell into their whatever they're listening to right now, like, why is she being so vague? Now, either way, 2020 is awesome stuff.
I'm raising my right eyebrow. Anyway, 2020 is going to be great.
You're funny. All right, so nothing else you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, something I'm forward to in 2020. we're going to get those Baby Yoda shirts done. I've been planning on for a while.
I was like, yes.
I will say, I've seen some Baby Yoda stuff come out, and the stuff we have planned is nothing like what's out there. So it's very unique, good. I think.
Yay!
Because we're nothing if not unique in some way. But all right, well, I guess be sure we're getting more consistent again on the YouTube side. So if you go to the Capture the Magic YouTube channel, you can watch video versions of the podcast plus vlogs. And we've got some, you know, we'll have some new ones coming up in 2020 as well. So
a lot more frequently.
Yeah. So subscribe over there. Trying to think if they're obviously if you want to join Club 32, head on over there. Helps us to, you know, supports the network. We give you guys additional content and helps us to upgrade stuff. Like I think we're going to soon upgrade mics again. So the show quality goes up because we're able to do some stuff in there. So. I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
That's all I can think of.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Hope everybody has, you know, a Merry Christmas.
Yes. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yes.
Was that weird?
I don't know. I was just saying Merry Christmas, and I feel like you tried to one-up me with your...
Happy holidays encompasses all of the holidays around this time of year.
Merry Christmas. Jeez. Who's ever gotten mad about saying Merry Christmas?
New Year's, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah...
Well, I think Happy New Year's is its own thing.
Happy Holidays. It is a holiday, and it is around this time. Boom, Jared. Boom goes the dynamite.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah, so thanks for listening. And as Jamie always likes to say,
we will see you in the parks in 2020.